Attention Crossrim shoppers. The store is now closed. If you were unable to make your final purchases and grab a Crossrim, Deep Peaks, or Hug a Reitman shirt, we've got you covered. Just drop us a direct message and a representative from our staff will be happy to accommodate your needs. Thank you for shopping the Paranormal Shop and have a nice afterlife.
Hey there, everybody. We have a fifth Ghostbusters movie to talk about. Isn't that crazy? It's so weird, and I love it. Hey, this week on the podcast, you are stuck with me, Troy. By myself, I'm going to do a non-spoilery first reaction to Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. This is my thoughts, but they're like not my spoiler thoughts, if that makes sense. It's going to be a fun conversation with one. Stay tuned.
Still Playing with Toys presents the Ghostbusters Interdimensional Crossrip, the biggest podcast since 1909.
So great!
News, interviews, and commentary on everything Ghostbusters.
Are you the key master?
Here are your hosts, Troy Benjamin and Chris Stewart.
Weird name. Gotta make the best of that.
You know, it's just occurred to me, we really haven't had a completely successful test of this equipment.
Hey there, everybody. How's it going? Troy here by himself. If you listened last week, you know that my faithful companion, Chris, is at the Game Developers Conference, and he's had a crazy week, that guy. I don't even know if he's seen Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. That's how dedicated to his craft he is. Or I guess I should say the nerve of GDC for scheduling their conference on the exact same week that a Ghostbusters movie releases? Come on. Anyway, so yeah, so Chris is not here. You're stuck with me by myself, but it's going to be a fun one. A short one, but a fun one. I definitely guarantee that. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is out there. It is out in the wild. It was released in theaters on Thursday night. I saw a lot of people that went to the previews. I saw a lot of people that went to advanced screenings, took advantage of the booking buyout that Sony offered and had events. And had, like I saw the LA Ghostbusters had their Starlight Foundation charity set up out in front of the AMC in Burbank. Just awesome stuff happening. It is a good time to be a Ghostbusters fan. As the kids say, we're eating well. I don't think kids say that. I think like my dad says that. But anyway, it is very fun. Go see the movie. Here's what's going to be happening here on the Crossroad podcast. This week, well, you're listening to me. Obviously. And what I'm going to do in the next like 20, 30 minutes here is I'm just going to give you a spoiler-free first thoughts on Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, you're okay. You don't have to turn this off. It is safe. You're in a safe space. I'm not going to spoil anything. But I am going to talk about the movie, the reaction to the movie, things to know going into it if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, perhaps you will get some of the inferences that I'm dropping in here for other things. But it's just going to be a really quick conversation, just my first thoughts. I have the microphone, so you will listen to every word that I say. That's how this works. But Chris will be back next week. After he's seen the film, hopefully he sees it once, maybe sees it with his family a second time. I am looking forward to seeing it a second time as well, so it'll be great that I'll have seen it twice. Hopefully Chris will have seen it once or twice, and then next week, next Monday, you'll hear Chris and I spoil the heck out of this thing. We're going to talk about everything, we're going to have our thoughts, we're going to talk about the Easter eggs, we're going to talk about all of the things. So if you don't want to be spoiled, don't listen. Next week. That's how this is going to work. This week, totally safe, totally fine. But before I get into my thoughts, I do want to mention a couple of things, a couple of housekeeping things here at the top. Dario's amazing score is available on digital platforms right now. So if you have seen the film, if you have not seen the film, don't worry, the track listing is fairly tame. It's not like Qui-Gon dies, and you're like, what the? There's nothing like that in there. There's a few things that once you've seen the movie you understand a little bit better, but the titles are fairly tame. So you can listen to that score now thanks to Sony Music Soundtracks. Just go to iTunes, Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to your music, it is there, which is fantastic. The score is great. Spoiler alert, I have been working already on the Ghostbusters HQ full score analysis. If you go to ghostbustershq.net, you can see I've got the first two or three tracks up by the time you listen to this. And it's a great score. There are some fun, different decisions in there, and you can kind of tell that Dario was heading in ways that maybe like Randy Edelman was heading in for Ghostbusters 2, like trying to put his own spin on things while keeping what came maintained. So go listen to the score and do that. Also, I saw just as I started to record this, the pre-orders for the Steelbook at Zavvi are already up. So if you remember on Ghostbusters Afterlife, there was a wonderful Steelbook that went up and sold out in like 10 minutes. So if that's something that interests you, go to Zavvi and make sure you do that now. But now I'm going to talk to you guys about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it. So here is where I have to come clean. Hello, everybody. My name is Troy, and I have a confession to make. I consulted with the amazing people at Ghost Core, and they were foolish enough to allow me to assist them in certain things and to be present for certain things, things that I still can't talk about and things that I worked on that I still can't talk about. But so as you can imagine, this was a lot like Ghostbusters Afterlife, where I knew a lot going into it. So when I first saw Frozen Empire, it was, let me take it in the Wayback Machine. So I did the DVD and the EPK. I was on that team that worked on the Anchorman 2, behind the scenes features. And that was my first experience seeing a film and knowing that, oh, there was a better joke there. Oh, you shot that whole thing and you didn't use it. And so when I saw Anchorman 2, I was so distracted that viewing by thinking about like, oh, I wish they would have used that joke, or I wish they would have used that song that was in the playback, or all these little things that everybody else is totally oblivious to. But it made the experience a little different. So when I see these films now with Afterlife and with Frozen Empire, there's that certain amount of like, I have to turn that part of my brain off. And it's very difficult to do, because it's, if you're in the film business, if you're a storyteller, if you're a writer, if you're a musician, you know that it's very difficult to kind of do that sometimes. Like, you can't just switch that thing off in your mind. So when I saw Frozen Empire, I had prior knowledge of things. Real early germination ideas of things. And, so when I saw the film, I was like, oh, I wish they had done this, or I wish that, like, those instincts were kind of kicking in, and I was trying to push those down and saying like, just eat your popcorn and watch the movie, you fool. And it took a hot second to do that. But once I did, man, I enjoy the heck out of this film. I know, and Chris and I will probably talk about it next week, the reviews, everybody's hung up on the reviews and the Rotten Tomatoes all of a sudden. And I have a theory as to why that is happening. And here is my theory. If you are a longtime listener of the podcast, you know that, especially once Answer the Call came out, we have talked at great lengths about how Ghostbusters is something different to everybody. It's sort of like Star Wars in that sense that it means something to everybody. You have this own version of it in your heads. You have maybe something that rings true about Ghostbusters that doesn't ring true for others. And so because of that, everybody has their sort of like a perfect vision of what a Ghostbusters movie or story or whatever should be. And that's an awesome thing. That means that you have created a property that has inspired the imagination to run wild and to do these things. So that's a good thing to have. That's a good problem to have. The only downside to that is when you are a filmmaker who is coming in to create what is the Ghostbusters film, if you're Gil Kenan and Jason Reitman and you're coming in, you have to, You're instilling your version, your perfect version of a Ghostbusters film. You're also having to take into mind what other people think a perfect Ghostbusters film is. And we always point to the character of Slimer as the one element in Ghostbusters that always kind of gets torn from left to right and is being pulled in different directions because everybody has this different version of Slimer that's in their heads. And it happened in Answer the Call. It happened again here in Frozen Empire. Again, I won't spoil things and go into it. Obviously, we know Slimer is there because he's all over the marketing. But it because Slimer was a radically different character in the real Ghostbusters and the Slimer in the real Ghostbusters series, he evolved. He turned into a talking and conversing and autonomous being that had friends that were driving ice cream trucks. And so if you saw Slimer in the real Ghostbusters and that was your version of Ghostbusters and that was your version of Slimer, then you go in and you see the original film for the first time, or you go in and you watch Frozen Empire and you go, that's not my Slimer. Why is that guy so... he's not talking, and why is he just eating stuff, and why is he slime? You know, there are those different versions that are in our heads that we have created. And that, I think, the reason I brought up Answer the Call is because we heard interviews with Paul Feig and Katie Dippold where they talked about exactly that, that they sat down and they said, if I was watching a Ghostbusters film, what were the things that I would want to see? And some of the things that they referenced were in the real Ghostbusters cartoon. And so you kind of have that influence seeping into the film that they are making. So here with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, we know because they have said full on, Gil Kenan said, real Ghostbusters is a huge inspiration for us in this, because that animated series opened up the world building. It really just, it took us from being this Manhattan centric, small contained story to something that could be big, could be talking about the Druids, could be going to Japan, could be doing all of these things, like that. It was a much bigger story on a much bigger scope. And that's what Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is trying to do. So if your perfect version of Ghostbusters is the original film that was a small business origin story, it was three college professors starting a business, and it just happened to be paranormal investigators and eliminators, it was a very small and contained story. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is not a small and contained story. There is a lot going on, and if you read some of the criticisms, especially from the reputable critics, let's not even talk about the clickbait critics, but when you read from the reputable critics, they say they're just stuffing so much into 1 hour and 58 minutes or whatever the runtime is on the film, that it just feels overstuffed. Like it needed some room to breathe because it's just trying to be so big. Flip side of that coin is you have people saying it is just like a real Ghostbusters episode, and I love it because real Ghostbusters tried to cram everything that they could into a 22-minute episode. And I think, again, it's everybody has their perfect version of Ghostbusters. If you went into this and it wasn't your cup of tea, I get it. I totally understand. One of my really good friends who is a critic who wrote an article for Paste Magazine, Tara Bennett, I understand her criticisms. I get it. She was also not a fan of Afterlife, so I had a feeling when she saw this, she was not going to be a fan of this either. But I have said this on the HQ social media, and I've responded to some people who have been nervous about the reviews going into seeing the film. The only critic that matters is you. Go see it. You have your own perfect version of Ghostbusters in your head. This may gel with that. This may not gel with that. There may be parts of this that gel with that and parts that don't, and that's okay. That's, look, we're now five movies in, which is crazy to think about. But between Ghostbusters 2, Answer the Call, Afterlife, and now Frozen Empire, five movies, there's bound to be things you like and things you don't like about them. And that's just how it goes. Like when stories are told, that's just the result. I personally, there are so many things in this that I love, so many things that I think that are setting up great and wonderful things for the future. And I can't wait to see those things. And I hope that the movie does well. And then we get to see those things. Without spoiling things, Kumail Nanjiani steals the movie. Just flat out, I'm going to say that. We got some voicemail on the CrossRip voicemail. Yeah, by the way, if you guys want to leave us voicemails, please do. But I could use some positivity in the voicemail lately. We've gotten crank calls and we've gotten some really vocal complaints lately. But one of the people said that Kumail was a total disaster and felt like he stuck out like a sore thumb. And I totally disagree. I think that he shows up and he is the perfect add into, like, all of the additions into Frozen Empire between Kumail and Patton and James Acaster and Emily Lind, who I won't talk about until we talk with Chris. great. They're all great. They all fit in perfectly. Again, the only problem is that there are so many great new people that you then have some of the returning characters like Lucky and Trevor and Podcast who just don't get as much screen time because you're trying to juggle all of these different stories and all of these A, B, C, D, and E plots. And there are great subplots. There's great subtext. There's great character developments in here. I just wish the movie was like 20 or 30 minutes longer, to help really flesh those things out and really allow those things to breathe, because there are some wonderful, there's a great, like, again, I don't want to spoil things, but there is a great, relationship, between, Ray and Phoebe, and there's a great relationship between Podcast and Ray, and like Ray is a very central fulcrum to this whole thing, which has got to warm your heart, because Dan has been such a champion of his own creation here for so long that even though this may not be the Ghostbusters 3 that he had in his mind when he was writing it for Chris Rock and Farley and Sandler and those guys, it has to also be something that he feels great about, because he gets to come back and he gets to have this last hurrah, and they all get to save the day again. So the relationships are fantastic. We know that Ghostbusters, if you listen to Ivan Reitman and Jason Reitman, and even again, going back to real Ghostbusters, it's about the relationships. It's about the friendships. This movie does not disappoint. There are so many different relationships and friendships within this film. Again, that I just wish we got to see a little bit more of, but they're there. And once you sort of stop focusing on what's not there and you focus on what is, it's wonderful. So, that's a tough one to really not go into spoiler territory with, but that to me just stands out, that the love and the hope and the friendship and those positive aspects of all of these outsiders coming together, to save the world. It works so well. And there are two characters who are very much outsiders, that are introduced, and oh my goodness, it's so great. So that's the stuff that works. The other stuff that works, the new gear, the firehouse is wonderful. The Ectomobile is firing on all cylinders, kind of. That's a joke for those of you who've seen it. Everything that we hope for and wish for in a Ghostbusters movie, there's a few things where I'm like, oh, I wish they made a toy of that, and I wish they made a toy of that, and I wish I was 8 years old, because this would be awesome. I would play with those toys all day, every day. So that all works. The score works wonderfully. The visual effects are wonderful. The special effects, I don't want to delve too much into that because of spoiler territory, but Arjen Tuten is back doing the physical creatures, and Slimer looks wonderful. He is a practical puppet in some instances, and a digital double in some instances, and it's very seamless in that sort of Iron Man suit kind of way where you don't see those seams. And I love it. There are a couple other creatures, some practical, some CG, but that's spoilery and we won't get into that. And what else stands out about this? So I talked about Kumail. Kumail steals the movie. Did I say that? I said that. That's like my main talking point. Kumail is just so good. For those of you that are wondering how much the original Ghostbusters are in this, they are in the entirety of it, with the exception of Bill Murray, who some of the reviews that I've seen and Terrors that I mentioned in Pace Magazine does sort of call out that, like, you never know when Bill's going to pop up. It's kind of weird. Like, he's there and then he's not, and then he's there and then he's not. Knowing that Bill Murray was there for the majority of production, that's another one of those things where I kind of feel like maybe there was more and maybe we just aren't seeing it. But when he does show up, it is quintessential Bill Murray. There was one review I saw that said that Bill Murray is sleepwalking through playing Peter Venkman. And I wanted to just, I have a strict do not engage, but I just wanted to message that particular reviewer and be like, have you seen Bill Murray act? That's how it's not sleepwalking. That's him. That's just how he has been since 1977. Come on, man. That's just Bill Murray. But yeah, so the original Ghostbusters are back, Winston and Ray and Peter, and Annie Potts as Janine gets such good material in this, and she gets a good moment of heroism, and it's just cool to see Annie Potts getting that to do. There are other returning characters. Obviously, we know that Walter Peck is back. Won't really go into that too much. A couple of other fun surprises that we won't get into until next week. But look, if you are a fan of original Ghostbusters, there is stuff for you. If you are a fan of the new crew that was introduced in Afterlife, there is lots for you. If you are a fan of both and you want to see something new, there's that for you too. There's a lot for everybody in here. And I think that for all the people that say it's fan service, yeah, it's fan service, but it's also new audience service. It is children's service. It is adult service. It is going to see a fun popcorn movie on a Friday night service. Like, this movie is trying to do so much, and you feel for Gil and Jason trying to juggle all these things, because they're trying to appease the fans. They're trying to appease all those things that I just mentioned. They're also trying to tell a great story at the same time, and it's Hollywood. It's impossible to make anything here. Look at all of the films that never make it from script to the screen. Look at all the films that make it through the entire production and post-production process lately that never see the light of day. That's weird to me. That's a whole new hang-up that is causing anxiety for myself and other friends, where it's like, you may cross the finish line and people may never see it. So just even making a movie is such a monumental hurdle that you have to jump over, that, you know, it's amazing anything gets done in this town. Paul Rudd. Let's talk about Paul Rudd really fast. And I know I'm talking a million miles a minute, because I'm just trying to get as much in as I possibly can in this very short episode. But Paul Rudd, he's living the dream, this guy. And if you have seen interviews with him lately, he knows he's living the dream. The fact that he is in a Ghostbusters movie with his heroes in Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, that he was just in Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short. Paul, who is a great comedian with a CV that is a mile long, and I feel like any up-and-comer would come and be with Paul Rudd and say the exact same things that Paul Rudd is saying about his heroes that he's been able to be with in these films. I just, like, you feel his energy. You feel his giddiness. You, like, Gruberson was the perfect character for him. Like, the fact that Paul Rudd gets to embody this kind of goofy, kind of, like, Ray Stantz, very enthusiastic, very very excited, easily excited character. It just works so well for him. And there is a wonderful, sweet scene that he has, because Paul is one heck of an actor as well. And I feel like we've seen some photos of scenes that are not in there that I'd love to see, because I think Paul is really, really living it up in this. So, where I say Kumail steals the show, we knew that it was Paul Rudd's show, and he delivers. I think he was number one on the call sheet, and it definitely shows in this. Carrie Coon, also, just really stands out in this. She's a mom. The thing that kind of with Afterlife, I had heard some people say was grating, is that, like, why is Callie just so, like, nag, nag, nag? Why is she always just this and that and whatever? And, you know, she's a mom who is struggling. She's trying to make ends meet. She's also trying to take care of these two kids, and kind of realizing that she's not doing a great job at it, or thinking that she's not doing a great job at it. And, you know, sometimes that makes you cranky, and that really comes through in Afterlife. You know, there's that scene where Phoebe goes down and she finds the trap in the puzzle floor, and you can tell Callie's had a rough night. She is passed out on the table with the wine bottle there. So Callie is going through some stuff in Afterlife. Once we get into Frozen Empire, Callie is in a far different position, but still kind of having to have that same internal struggle. So you do see that a lot in her character, that she is not necessarily like this is now the family business. Did she ever really want to be a Ghostbuster? I don't know, question mark. But she's also still a mom, and she's got these two teenagers who want to do their own thing. They want to be individuals. They want to be adults who are independent and have flown the nest, but they're also kind of digging being Ghostbusters. So it creates a really interesting dynamic, especially when you throw Gary Gruberson into that, that, you know, the family story that we have heard promoted definitely delivers in spades there. I know that any common person coming into this will have sort of like a weird, like, wait a minute, why did the family move from Oklahoma to New York? And why are they living in the firehouse? And why are they Ghostbusters? And we all know that that's going to be explained in Ghostbusters Back in Town, the Dark Horse comic book series, which will be releasing this week as you're listening to this, which we will talk about on the podcast in 2 weeks. But for the, again, because this is trying to service so many people, people who won't know that the comic book exists, let alone read it, they do throw a little bit of an exposition dump in this, in the top of the movie to kind of help massage that out a little bit, that here's why this family has moved in and has taken up the mantle. It's not a perfect solve, and I know that so for the people that aren't going to read the comic, they're going to be like, I still don't get it. But for us, for the fans who will read the comic, I feel like there is a great story to be told there, and great character dynamics. Like, was everybody all for this? Did everybody want to leave Somerville? I mean, I'm sure they probably did. At least Trevor and Phoebe did, because they were like gung-ho to get out of there in the first place. Gary too, but maybe Callie was like, I don't want to do this. We'll see. Let's see how that plays out in Ghostbusters Back in Town. I'm very excited for that. Where am I at? Oh my goodness. See, 25. I was trying to keep it under 30. Nobody should listen to me talk like the Micro Machines man for 30 minutes. That's bonkers. And especially because this is spoiler free, I'm also tap dancing all over the place and trying not to dip into things that I think will ruin the film going experience. So bottom line, go see this film, go see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Treat yourself to watching Afterlife before you do, if you haven't already seen it, or if you're going to go for the second or the third time, watch Afterlife so that it is 100% fresh in your mind before you go and watch this film, because they do complement each other so well, but they are such different films. You know, Afterlife is such a contemplative and very methodical, and very, especially the first like hour of that film, like the first two acts of that film are just, they're a character drama and they're wonderful. And Frozen Empire is a very different movie from that. And that's okay. These need to be different movies. Like, I want to see the character drama version of Ghostbusters. I want to see the big bombastic, you know, everything being thrown at the Ghostbusters end of the world movie. You know, maybe the next one will be a little more smaller and contemplative. And that's cool, because they can kind of teeter between those two. That's what these doors are opening. And honestly, that's what Paul Feig's Answer the Call opened up to, where it showed, look, we can go in this direction. And we now know what the response is when we go in that direction. We know sort of the pitfalls when we do go in that direction. We can do these different things. Same thing. I bet they are learning so much from Frozen Empire coming out, and the response to that, and the fan response, and the critical response, and the studio's response, and even the actors and the creative people that work on the film. You know, now that all is said and done, they'll probably sit and have a postmortem and go, okay, what worked, what didn't work, what can we do for the next one? I'm very excited for the future, and I hope you are too. Like, go see Frozen Empire, and look, if it's not your cup of tea, they'll get you on the next one. Like, that's the great thing that we're like, when's Ghostbusters 3 coming out? It's like, man, the last Ghostbusters movie came out 2 years ago. Can you believe that? Like, well, 2.5 years ago. It was 2021. So it's been a little bit longer than 2 years, but still, the fact that we have had these films back to back, the fact that Frozen Empire started filming 1 year to almost to the day of its release, like, that's how fast these movies now can come. So if you didn't like this one, that's okay. I mean, we're not going to hold it against you. I mean, Chris might. That guy, sometimes he holds grudges. Don't tell him I said that. he's going to hold a grudge against me because I said that.
Don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Ghost Stoppers.
I'm sorry. We'll do it again.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail on our call-in line at 470-242-4742. That's 4702-GBHQIC. We also have a Facebook page.
You do?
And Twitter accounts.
Friend is dead.
No kidding. Just give me the address.
Search Facebook for
the Ghostbusters Interdimensional Cross Trip.
On Twitter, look for Troy at Ghostbusters HQ and Chris at Proton Jar Jar.
What the hell are you doing?
If you like what you hear, please take a moment to give us a review on iTunes. Be sure to recommend us to your friends.
That makes good sense. Don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Once again, our call-in line is 4702-GBHQIC.
That'll do it. Thanks very much, Ray.
All right, so I did it. A solo episode. Hopefully nothing was really spoiled in there. And that's that. Hey, so with Chris being gone, I can't throw to him for his final thoughts, so you have to listen to me again. Too much Troy. I'm glad that my nasally thing has finally cleared up. It was like months of sounding like it was... I didn't like it. I'm still a little nasally, and I apologize for that, but... My silky radio voice is coming back. Yeah. But for my final thoughts, I just want to, and there's probably no way that they're listening to this, but I do want to give a special and warm shout out to Ghost Core and Sony Pictures and the marketing team and the promotions team and all of the people that are really bending over backwards to make this a fun experience for the fans, and a fun release for the fans. You know, they did that. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to Justin's first person perspective of the New York premiere. I cannot stress enough again that fans don't need to be invited to this stuff. Like this is. Premieres are big marketing and publicity and PR splashes, and that's when you invite all of your press, and of course it's always fun to see fans there because it's a great infectious enthusiasm and cheering, and it builds the energy of the scene really well. But the fact that they, you know, invite people and they give them places on the red carpet and that they give you a screening of the film, 9 times out of 10, if fans are at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, you don't get to see the film. You're just standing on the street hoping to see the celebrities that you love, and then you got to take a hike because they're closing things up and they got to get the street back open. So don't take this for granted. I can't tell you how lucky we are to have people like Eric Reich and Amy Karp and Erica Mills and Danielle and all of the people at Ghost Core, and then all of the people at Sony Marketing who really just care and love Ghostbusters, and they don't want to just use it to exploit things to sell things. Like, they know that it is something that is kind of sacred for some people, and they're really, you know, they treat it with reverence and with respect, and it's really awesome. And the fact that I was able to rattle off people's names for the intellectual property of the thing that we love, that is also rare, because there are not a lot of, think of some of the big things that you love. Do you have a direct conduit to them through the company that makes them? If you really want to talk about Star Wars stuff, can you directly go to, I don't know, Pablo? Who would you like? There's not that connection, that deep care and love that Ghost Core has for fans. And believe me, us fans, we can be fickle. We can be challenging. We can be a handful sometimes. So the fact that they keep that open door policy and they are responsive, that's pretty awesome. So I just want to send a shout out to them, because I have a feeling this week and next week they are going on well-deserved vacations. Hopefully, recuperating from the sprint that was 1 year of production post and release of a film, including a worldwide publicity tour. Like, Gil Kenan has got to be tired, man. He just finished his film and then he went to Spain and Paris and was in New York for the fan thing. That guy's a world traveler. So hopefully he's getting a good, no, he's not getting a vacation. He and Jason are shooting a movie right now. Oh man, those poor guys. That's my final thought, is I hope that Gil and Jason are finding some way to get some sleep. But I also am really excited for the SNL movie. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's my final thought. If we coin the term Hug a Reitman on this podcast, I feel like it rings true for everybody at Ghost Corps. Hug a Ghost Corps. Doesn't have the same rate. Hug a Reitman or a Reitman adjacent. There you go. All right, next week, Chris and I will be back. We're going to spoil things, so you better see the movie before then. And until then, we'll see you on the other side. Who you gonna call?
We got her! Thanks for joining the Ghostbusters Interdimensional Crossroad. Visit us at protoncharging.com, ghostbustershq.net, and stillplayingwithtoys.net.
That used to be one of my two favorite shows.
Everything you're doing is bad.
I just want to let you know that.
Really found its voice in the 46th episode.
Next week, though, Careless Pets. We're so cool.
I'm going to take a drink of water. That was a lot of talking. Thank you for attending my TED Talk.